morning. And we ask that Reverend Gwynn come in his own way at this time.
God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We won't be long before you this morning. I want you to turn to Matthew's, if you would.
Mm-hmm. To the sixth chapter.
The sixth chapter of Matthew's. Right. We're going to read from the 25th to the 34th verse. Amen. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Amen. When we're all found, let us say amen. Amen. Those that are still searching, say, wait on me. Amen. We don't want to leave nobody behind. Amen. The 25th verse out of the King James Version reads, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment, considering the lily of the fields, how they grow? They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I thank you for standing with respect of the reading of God's word. Amen. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. As I say, we won't be long before you this morning. We're going to do our best to get out of the way as fast as possible. Amen. But we want to let the Lord speak this morning. Oh, I'm trying something new out with me. I normally don't use my electronic devices to put my notes and stuff on, but that's so much about the scripture that I needed to put it on my device so I can condense it down a little bit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But first, giving honor unto God, to the pastor, Pastor Pickens, to my fellow yokemen in the gospel, to the deacons and to the ushers and my family. I thank God this morning because he's allowed me to be here. I want to give my testimony before I move on, and it's going to be very short. 2019, they diagnosed me with cancer. I tell this story, and I'm going to keep telling it because only because of God am I standing here this morning.
Amen.
2019, they said I had cancer. It was cancer of the lung. And they beginning to tell me as they went through that it looked like maybe stage one or maybe a little higher, but they were doing all the tests to find out.
Yeah.
So they came back and said, no, it's not stage one, it's stage three. And they said, we're going to begin to treat it, and this is what we're going to do. And they did. They started giving me chemo. I don't know if anybody ever had chemo. I hope you never have to take chemo. But chemo is a drug they give you when you have cancer, but this is chemo designed to do one thing, to kill everything in your body, the good and the bad. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't say, well, I'm going to leave the good alone. It kills everything. And it can also harm organs and things in your body. So we did this for 2 years. And so one day I was sitting in with my oncologist, and I asked her, I say, I need to ask you something. It's been on my mind. I say, how is the treatments that you're giving me, the chemo, doing against the cancer? And she said, well, I don't know. I really can't answer that. And I said, well, why can't you answer that? And she said, we never did a biopsy on the cancer to find out what chemo it was that was effective against it. But God.
But God.
2 years in. And we don't know. And it's an aggressive. The only thing they told me was it's very aggressive. So 2 weeks later, I go back to see her. And while we're sitting there, she says, I have some bad news for you. Now, meanwhile, this whole 2 years, I've been telling her about the God I serve. Because as I explained to her when I came in, I say, well, tell me one thing. I just need to know. And she said, what is that? How long have I had it? And she said, I don't know. And I said, that's all right. I say, because let's say it was 6 months ago. Well, 6 months ago, I was praising and thanking God for all that he's done. And I said, now that you've given me this report, I'm still believing and trusting God and praising him. So she said, well, this is the news that I have. She said, you don't have stage 3 anymore. You have stage 4. And stage 4 is in your brain. She said, now what I want you to do, I need you to go home and get all your affairs in order. I said, well, Doc, thank you. And she said, well, how are you doing? I said, I was doing the same as I was doing before I came in, remember? I was in God's hands when I came in. I'm still in God's hand. I said, well, I've been believing God to do what God's going to do. Because I understand this. God is in control of all things. So I want you to understand something, that God didn't give me cancer. See, a lot of people want to say, oh, God gave me. No, God didn't give me cancer. Now, he allows things to happen. But he didn't even allow it for my good. He did what he did for someone else. He didn't do it for me. See, because I'm standing here this morning giving you my testimony. See, I'm not standing here for me, but for you, that you might know that as a real God, and the God we serve is able to do anything he desired to do. So they said to me, we're gonna treat your cancer of the brain. We can only give you radiation 3 times. And we don't know if the 3-time treatment of the radiation is going to do anything. Because if we gave any more to you, we fry your brain. Oh, see, you don't hear me this morning. And see, and I said to him, I said, well, you know, thank you. I said, but see, I've been trusting God. And I believe that God is able. Thank you. I know that he's still healing. And if he desire to hear me, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
But if he don't desire to hear me, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. See, because he's God no matter what. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Like I said, I don't want to be too long before you this morning. But see, I know I serve a good God. Not because I'm standing here this morning, but because he's good. See, my situation didn't make him good. He's good all by himself. His nature is to be good. Amen. But see, I want you to turn to your neighbor real quick and look at him and say this to me. God is concerned about you. Amen. Amen. God is concerned about you. Amen. You might say, why you want to have me to do that? Because, see, I want to talk to you basically this morning out of that 33rd verse. If you notice, I read to you from 25, and we got all the way down to verse 33. And he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, we know that the Bible teaches to learn precept on precept, line upon line. But now when he got down to this whole part and he told you about all these things, homes and land and the food that you would need and the drink that you would want and the clothing and the shelter. He didn't tell you this is how you get it. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, hold on just a moment. Wait a minute. I need a house. I need somewhere to lay my head. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And did he not say all these things? What are all things? All the things he was talking about from verse 25 to 33. All these things. He didn't tell you to go to seek out how you're going to plan to get your house and how you're going to build up your financial portfolio so that when you leave here, all you're doing is leaving it for somebody else. Amen. You can't take it with you. I don't care how much of it you gain. It's not going where you're going, no matter which way you're going. It's going to be right here, amen, for somebody else to do everything that you didn't want to be done to it. Amen. They're fighting over it. Somebody's killing over it. Amen. Somebody's stealing it before you die. But see, he told you to do something. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, I want to talk to you about that a little bit this morning, because that's one of the things. How do I do that? See, I can't do that just every now and then. Amen. I can't just decide when I want to. So when I'm going to seek God's kingdom and seek God, so to seek God, the first thing, it means to prioritize him above all else in your life. Then notice, I said all else. I didn't say every now and then that you can put something else in place to try to make things work out for you. But you got to prioritize him above all else in your life. Now, this involves actively pursuing his will and his kingdom. His will and his kingdom. How many of us know that we are kingdom people living in a kingdom? See, and we're subjects in a kingdom with a king, and his name is Jesus. Amen? But see, you got in every kingdom, you got some rebellious subjects. Amen. Oh, but see somebody, well, I'm not rebellious. See, when I decide that I'm going to pick up my Bible when I want to, pray when I get ready. Oh, you don't hear me? Care about somebody else, love someone else other than myself when I get ready. Because they nice people. They good people. I know their mom and dad. They were good people. But what about the man that's not a good person? Because the king I serve said to love him. To love him as I love myself. See, we say God is good all the time. But we don't understand God doing good because we say he's good. He's good to the bad, the ugly, and those that do right. Because it's his nature to do good. But look here. So let me move on. So, see, we have to actively pursue his will and the kingdom rather than focusing solely on our personal desires and worldly pursuits. It means making God the center of our thoughts, action, and decision, and relying on him for guidance and provision. Oh, see, I tell you, that takes a lot. It takes a lot to move yourself out of the way and let the Holy Spirit tell you what you need to do. See, it takes some saying, I'm going to disappear. Because all of us want to say, well, this is my personality. This is who I am. This is my makeup. Well, God created me like this. Well, the hold on just a moment, if you would. Go with me to Colossians, to the first chapter of Colossians. Like I say, I'm not going to be long this morning. When we get to Colossians, let us say amen. Yeah, let me get to Colossians. First chapter of Colossians. Come on, sticky pages. All right. Are we there? Now, I want you to hear this, and I want you to see it for yourself. The 13th verse says, who had delivered us, is speaking of Jesus, from the power of darkness, meaning that we once was in this world system. We were slaves to this world system, to its God, Satan, and had delivered us from the power of darkness, had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. See, when you say God made me this way, no, God may have made you, may have been made that way in the darkness. You may have done those things when you was in the darkness. You may have lied and slipped and slid wherever you want to go in the darkness. But when he translated you and he put you in the kingdom of his dear Son, now you are subject under the king. No more slipping and sliding. No more peeping and hiding. No more trying to figure it out for yourself. See, because he says, now I'm in control. He said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. You say, I'm not rebellious, but if God got a plan for you and you got a plan, then you are. Because God says, I have a plan. So if he's got a plan, I must follow his plan. I'm subject to his plan. See, if I am a subject in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, I'm not doing my own thing. I'm doing what the king wants me to do. See, let me say something to you this morning. How many of us got a job? How many of us go to our jobs every day? How many of us go to our job when we decide we want to go? How many of us go on our job and work the way we want to work? Oh, I don't see no show of hands. Well, how many call up our job and say, pay me now because I don't want to have to come in. I see you on Friday. Oh, see, what you talking about, preacher? Well, see, when we treat God the same way, we come in late to church. Oh, yeah. All right. We go when we want to go. Oh, you don't hear me? We pray when we get ready to pray. We talk about him when we want to talk about him. And if somebody presses too hard, we'll tell them politics and religion is, I don't have a part in nothing like that. But he said, I'm a child of the king. Oh, you're a rebellious child. And I got a king to put rebellious children out of his kingdom. See, that's coming a time when we no longer play and try to pretend who we are. But we got to be who he say we are. One way or the other. See, if you meant what you said when you was born again, I can guarantee you he's taking you to the woodshed. How many of us are old enough to know about going to the woodshed? Oh, they get a switch. They call it a switch. I call it a stick. They say, well, that's a switch, boy. I'm going to put, now, that the big as it was, I'm going, now, see, you don't know about calling 911 for abuse. Oh, see, you don't hear me this morning. See, when they got ready to whip you, I'm going to tell you, they didn't have to tell you don't do it twice. When they turn you loose, you wasn't going back that route again. It was an unspoken word. But see, with God, we want to play around. We want to act like that we got it all together. And we don't want to do anything what he tells us to do. See, we want to do it when we get ready to do it. Well, I'm too tired. I know I'm supposed to be over there on Wednesday night, but you know those people don't be talking about nothing. But I'm going to go by Sunday. Also, we turn to the other folks. Man, every time the church is they're having something at the church, the door is open, I'm there. But what are you doing about what God told you to do? See, as you see, when we talk about prioritizing God, seeking for God, we're talking about prioritizing prayer and studying God's word. making prayer a daily habit, seeking God's will and guidance in all things, praying continuously throughout the day. See, when you're real about serving the King, these things you don't mind doing. Yeah. Oh, child, I got so and so gonna call me at 12 o'clock. I'm busy. Oh, but the Holy Spirit is just trying to get you. Look, if you just do this, if you just take out a little time, oh, the Lord want to speak to you. See, this is the thing about praying, and this is what the enemy does. See, he gets you all caught up, and that 25 was all about worldly care. He gets you all caught up about all these things and get you focusing on everything but God. He got you focusing on where you're going to lay down, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, and all these things. But then the first thing we say, well, Lord, I trust you. He said, take no care for those things. Your heavenly Father has need. Know that you have need of them. But he tells you to focus on what God would have you do. Put him first. Focus on God's will and God's plan for your life. See, don't be concerned about what you're going to drive. If God knows that you need to get somewhere, he'll get you there. If he knows that you need monies to do certain things, he's going to get it to you. If he knows that you need to eat, he's going to make sure you eat. And you hear birds chirping out in the morning and going on, and they built a little nest and hanging out on the branch. He don't stay hanging on that branch. He hops down on the ground and go look for what he expects to be there. See, there's one thing about when you're serving God and when you made him priority, you are anticipating and expecting. You're not just going, oh, well, hope he does it. You are anticipating and expecting it to happen. See, I'm telling you something. When they gave me the news about my condition, I was already anticipating and expecting my God to deliver me. I never thought one thing about it. But let me tell you something else about the end of that, and I'm going to move back into what I was just talking to you about. See, it came to a time I was praying, and I was saying to the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I'm going through this thing, and I'm going through it. I don't know why, but I don't want to just think that because I'm going through it that I'm going to be okay. You got something in mind. So you tell me, you give me the instruction of what you want me to do. The Lord says this to me. He says, my wife asked me, she said, well, since they gave you the report about cancer on your brain, should we tell the kids? We should tell the rest of the family. Well, the Lord had already spoken to me, say, speak not one word. I said, Lord, why? 2 years I said nothing. I said, Lord, tell me why. He says, because they're going to talk about how bad a shape you're in. And you're on your way to die. He said, now, if you don't want all that in the atmosphere, he said, only speak to the person that's in agreement with you about where you are. Right. See, a lot of times when something used to happen to us, we go running and telling everybody. And all they do is go tell somebody else. And it all, oh, child, did you hear about Elizabeth? Oh, she died. They gave her 2 days. Well, the report says you may live 2 years or we may be able to cure you. But you know how I do. You tell one thing in a couple of hours, something different. But you see, you don't want to tell everybody. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if that's scripture. Oh, well, look here when Jesus went down to Jairus' house and the daughter had died. They was in there mourning, wailing because they got paid for it. Jesus put them all out. Now, Jesus said, the damsel's not dead, but she's just sleeping. They laughed him to scorn. Oh, they just laughed so hard. He said, get out. But he only took who? The parents and his other disciples. Because those that believed, those that was in agreement. Amos 3:3 says this to you. How can two walk together except they be agreed? How can two walk together except they be agreed? See, you can't tell me that I pray. Yeah, but if you pray, but you refuse to, how can we be in agreement? We're not in agreement. You might want to be in agreement, but you're not in agreement. Now, let me move on. Time is escaping me. I don't want you to miss these things. So when you're seeking God, the other thing about it, you should be constantly reading your Bible, studying your Bible so that you can understand God's character, his teaching, and his plan for your life. Focusing on God's kingdom and his will, seeking his approval, and not being so concerned about the worldly things. See, the thing about it is this. If I don't read the instruction menu, how am I going to know what the author wants me to do? And if I don't listen after I pray to God, how do I know what he told me to do? How do I know I'm in his will? See, if I just call out, Lord, I need you today. Lord, my arm is paralyzed and won't move, and I don't know what happened. But I'm believing and praying, Lord, that you will heal it. I get up and don't wait to listen from him. I don't know what to do. Well, I don't know if he's going to answer. And I don't know if he might answer, he may not. Well, then if he doesn't answer, most people say, well, God, that's God's will. That's what he put on me. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. That's not what the Word of God teaches. See, if I'm going to serve God in this invisible kingdom as a child of God, in his will, not mine, in his will, then I want to know what he's telling me. I'm going to stay long enough. Lord, I'm not moving until I hear from you. Lord, I want to know what you want me to do with what's going on. If I don't, I'm going to continue to do one thing. Ask. I'm going to continue to seek. And I'm going to continue to knock until I get an answer. But see, I'm not going to get up and go on and decide on my own how it should be. Two men of us a day is doing it. It's getting up, going on, saying, Lord, I guess it wasn't for me. I guess this is the way I'm supposed to be. Oh, I get up in the morning, my back just won't even let me move. See, but I got some instructions. I think those instructions are found somewhere in a book called, I think, is it Psalms 18? I think where he says death and life is in the power of the tongue. So why are you speaking death upon yourself? Why don't you speak life? Back in the name of Jesus, I command you to function as you was created. Keep saying it until you see it. Keep believing it until it comes. Because if I'm living a life with no anticipation and no expectation, guess what? I'm going to get just what I'm looking for. And nothing will be my case. But see, if I'm talking about living for one that have called me, to live how he's called me to live, to be able to make a difference in other people's life. See, because the thing about being born again, once it impacts my life and changed me, people that's close to me, if they're around me, they're going to get impacted. Yeah. Now, see, you can't change. You can't get, we got to get something that, okay, let me find something that's very contagious. Where some people sometimes think certain disease, oh, if they got it, I'm immune to it. But you can't get a contagious disease, hoof and mouth disease, and get around somebody and think it's not going to get on you. You ought to be like a dangerous disease. When people get around you, that what happened in your life, just rub off on their life. Not that because they asked for it, but see, that's the righteousness of God. See, when you're living like God called you to live, guess what happened? People that wants to get divorced when they're around you, they just want to stay together. Your rebellious kids, they start to act like they know what they should act like. But when we're not doing what God called us to do, then we see all those things start to fall apart. Amen. Because, see, the enemy is for real. You are in a kingdom. This kingdom may be invisible, but you are children of that kingdom. And you should be living like a kingdom child.
Say it, say it, say it again.
See, nobody should be able to tell you that God wants your presence somewhere. You ought to know God wants your presence somewhere. And even when you don't feel like going where he wants you, you go anyway. Oh, somebody ought to pray with me this morning. My Lord. You know, I tell you something. I usually don't even mention it, but I tell you something. I tried to run away from this sermon as much as I could. I went over somewhere else, and God sent me right back. He said, go on back over to, go on back to Matthew 6:33. I said, Lord, but why do you want me to talk about Matthew 6:33? He said, go back to Matthew 6:33. I said, give me something else. I'll be satisfied. But he said, you know, that's what I want them to hear. Now, who they are, I don't know. But, so let's move on. He says, seeking God's approval. Concern about pleasing God and aligning with God's kingdom rather than solely focusing on personal gain or worldly ambitions. Live to please Jesus, making choices that honor Jesus and reflect his teaching. Serve others. Look for opportunities to serve others and make a positive impact on their lives. And he tells you to cultivate a heart for God. Develop a heart for holiness. Strive for righteousness and purity in your thoughts, words, and actions. Love him deeply. Cultivate a genuine love for God that motivates you to obey his commandment and follow his path. Trust and rely on God. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, see, that is seeking God. But now seeking his righteousness, it has some of those same things. But this is the thing. It changes people that would come about with lives would come about with the spread of God's kingdom, but without the explicit recognition of Jesus as Lord. In other words, God's righteousness involves the individual and social transformation that rises when God's principles are applied even apart from conscious obedience. So I'm telling you about the power of God's word, the power of living for God. Amen? See, you can live around bad folks, but because you're living around bad folks, they see something in you to cause them to want to live like they know they should live.
Amen.
See, you don't have to ever say a word to them. But when they see you, it convicts them to want to be like you. See, so when we are out in the world and we're doing what we're doing, you got to understand. You're influencing one way or the other. You may think nobody knows that I'm in a place here. I just stopped off to eat. Nobody knows I'm a Christian. Well, let me tell you something. Nothing happened by chance in the body of Christ. God appoints. You're there for a reason. And let me take a moment. I'm going to be closing in just a moment. Let me talk. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings. We're not going to be much longer. You're about to close it up right now. If you can get over to 1 Kings with me. Into the 17th chapter. I'm going to tell you the story, then we're going to wrap everything up. Here in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, we find Elijah. Now, remember Elijah, he was a prophet. Elijah was down by the brook, and the water had ran out, and his food was out, and God sent him to Zarephath, to a widow. Now, he sent him to this widow that had very little, nothing at all. So we're looking here at the 10th verse. It says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Oh, I tell you. See, the Lord had told Elijah, I'm going to send you where I can sustain you. Because where you were, everything is gone. It's ran out. See, kingdom living is totally different from worldly living. See, when Elijah got there, look at the news that he found. So the lady says to him, all I have is a little meal and some oil. I don't have enough for me and my son, but I'm going to go in and fix what I got. Now, Elijah, when he arrived, he didn't have anything. He arrived on the word of God that he would provide for him when he got there. But if you look at it in the natural, when he got there, that wasn't enough for him to have or for her to have. Oh, see, you don't hear me this morning. See, a lot of time when we find ourselves in certain situations, I tell you, we talk about, we ask God, bless me, Lord, bless me. And I look down and I look at my bank account. My bank account says $9. And I need $900. Holy Spirit speaks and says, go ahead and just give that. But that's all I got. Go ahead and give that. But that's all I got. I give him $2, but I ain't going to give him my last. Oh, I love the Lord. See what happened. But well, I gave the two, and the Lord says that he'll give it back to me. He'll multiply it 100-fold for me. See, I'm looking for everything from God, but I'm not doing anything God called me to do. I want to take God's word and twist it so it multiplies in my direction rather than trusting God that he's able to give me everything I have need of. So then when it doesn't happen, you come to find out, oh, well, you know, I'm not giving any money to that church over there. That's all they wanted, money. Well, you gave only $2. You say, why are you being like that, preacher? Because I'm telling the truth. And it's time to take the blinders off. It's time to stop acting because God sees.
Yes, he does.
He's not blind. He understands. But he's not deceived. See, if you think he is, you are.
Come on now, tell it.
But I'm telling it to you why. Because that needs a change in how we're living and what we're doing.
That's right. Say it.
See, if you understand that somebody across the street over there is suffering, and I call myself a child of God, and I say we're a body of people that love God and love people, but yet and still I won't find out why they're suffering and help them take care of it. When I stand in a community that don't understand who God is, and kids are doing all kind of things, but I won't intervene to do anything to help to change it. Who am I? What I say don't make me who I am. My actions tells you who I am. How long would I stand and say it's none of my problem? How long would I say my brother can do whatever he want to do, but I won't speak to him? See, I won't stand up and let him know that he's going in the wrong direction, because that's his problem. That's not mine. But I talk about him. I tell everybody about him that I see. But I'm going to do anything to help him. So here's Elijah. And Elijah says to her, make me a cake first. That's what God says to you. Put me first. Do for me first. Do everything that you're going to do for me first. See, whenever I get to work and my work time start time is 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or whatever it is, I guarantee you when that work time starts, you don't sit around for the next hour going, oh, well, I get there when I kind of feel like it. Right now, I think I'm just going to sit here and enjoy the view. No, when that time comes, you're doing what you're supposed to do. And see, when we come, we want to give God the leftovers, and we want him to accept any and everything. But God says, see, and that's why I kept asking, Lord, let me preach something. But see, God says it's time that we recognize that those things are not pleasing to him. It's time for us to recognize that we're not going to skate by because we judge ourselves by other people. Well, at least I'm in the church house, and they're out there over there in the club. And you think you're in a better position. This is a building made of wood and stone. The church is a living organism. You can sit in here in the comfortable seats all you want. Doesn't mean that you're in church. You're just in a place where you can come and worship corporately. But when you're in the church, what concerns God concerns you. What moves God should move you. You should never think just because of your attendance, God is pleased. I showed up. Oh, child, last week God gave me a brand new car. For what? Gave you a brand new car last week and you ain't even said thank you, Jesus, yet. Because you feel like you got it on your own. See, you felt like you made it to work on your own. You felt like you earned the money on your own. You felt like you felt like it was you that sweated all that time and endured all that pain. And so you should be able to enjoy what you want. Why should Lord, why are you speaking to me to roll down my window and give that homeless man $20? He needs to go get him a job. Now, we can quote the Bible. If a man don't work, he ought to eat. But let me tell you something. Everybody that you see on that corner is not physically able. And if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, who are you to tell him who to choose and who not to choose? See, it's time that we feel like we are concerned. It's time that we begin to live and believe God for what God can do. See, I can tell you, I'm not going to brag on myself, but I'm getting ready to take my seat. But this is the thing. I seen God give me a house without a dime. Not one dime. And it changed the lady's life. She got saved. Because she didn't believe when I said I'm not paying a thing for it that it could be done. You can't do that. I said, watch God. Now, you can't do that. Then when they did it, she had walked away from the church. She decided she changed her mind and said, if God is able to do things like that, God must be real. I'm committing my life back to God again. I've seen him do many things. And I'm going to tell you, see, when you wait on God, don't get ahead of him. You see, when Elijah said to her, make me that cake, she had no idea where she was going to get anything else from. But guess what she did? She made the cake. And when she made the cake, she kept going back. The little meal she had and the little oil never ran out. There was a famine in the land. There was nowhere to find food. Everything was gone. But God sustained her and Elijah all that time off of what she thought was a little. So I say to you this morning, little you think you have in the hands of God is much. Oh, I tell you, see, the little life that you think you got, if you put it in the hands of God, it's much. Oh, I just thank the Lord this morning for his goodness and for his mercy. I say, God bless you.
Can we say amen, church? God is good, and you haven't heard the word. somebody may be ready to join the team for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."